I was reading the other day that the level of trust in the media in ex-communist countries is extremely low. And the proposed reason for this is that they have been through communism and they therefore know what it is like, particularly towards the end of communism, to have absolutely no trust in the media and no trust in the police and no trust in any of the institutions of the state, because they're all lying, or they're almost all lying all the time. And you have to read between the lines to know what's going on. And also, of course, the law in such societies is not enforced fairly. The law is enforced differently if you are a senior member of the party compared to if you are an ordinary person. So there is a great deal of corruption and therefore no trust in the system. We are increasingly seeing this in the UK. And I wonder if what is happening in the UK as I make this video, i.e. the protests and disorder that were set off as a consequence of a Rwandan immigrant boy killing three little girls. I wonder if this is a turning point in which that trust is gone. And before I look at that, I would ask you, could you possibly subscribe? If you like what I do, could you subscribe here on YouTube and also on my Substack, The Jolly Heretic, where if you like what I do, you can support me for the cost of a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. Now, why do I say this? Well, it is perfectly clear that we now do not trust the police and we do not trust the media. And we have, and once that trust is gone, and I suspect that what is happening, these riots are a demonstration that it is gone, then it is extremely hard to ever get it back. If we look at the police, I suspect we used to trust the police, but in about the year 2000, Tony Blair politicised the police. There was the Stephen Lawrence inquiry into the murder of a black teenager, Stephen Lawrence, with the consequence that the racism was used basically to remove the old guard that had traditional values and bring in left-wing proto-woke people, and in particular women, to start running the police force. And naturally, such people are uber-conformist, and so they are obsessed with power and Machiavellian. So they take hold in a kind of Gramscian march to the institutions of the police force and turn it into something woke. And then, of course, we see very quickly the development of two-tier policing. If you want to go out on a Palestine march, stirring up hatred and using terrorist symbols, that's fine. If you want to go on a march to do with Britishness and have a Union Jack, then the police can arrest you. If you want to go out and do a protest about three little girls being murdered by an immigrant, you expect to be arrested, expect to be beaten up. But if you want to go out and just stop oil because you are, of course, pro-Labour, and to disrupt everything and disrupt people's lives, oh, that's absolutely acceptable. You just get a slap on the wrist. If you want to commit actual crime, then you get a short sentence, if any sentence at all, and the Labour Party are emptying the prisons. But if you engage in protest, which in some way is seen to threaten them, to threaten their power, to be an expression that other groups in the society have power and don't like what's happening and don't like the way things are run, oh, then suddenly they're talking about 24-hour courts. Suddenly they're talking about you going to prison and heavy sentences and whatever. Hang on a minute, I thought there was no room in the prisons. But they like having actual criminals on the street, because that's anarcho-tyranny. It means that people are so frightened and so trying to defend themselves and so forth that they don't have time to politically organise. Let them run amok. But if you actually are doing something which is challenging the regime and showing up the regime to be hypocritical and so forth, well, then suddenly they find the money and they find the prison places and they find the resources to deal with you. If you are a Muslim and you break the nose of a female police officer, then this is apparently acceptable, and I believe no arrests have been made. The policeman that tries to defend you is pilloried in the press and made out to be Islamophobic and racist and whatever. And the lies get round the world before the truth can even brush its teeth. If you are a foreigner in Leeds, it's okay for you to riot, and all that happens is your child is returned to you. If you are a woman, an English woman, and you are stabbed to death while walking your dog by a Somali gang, well, that's barely reported. But if you are an English man and you say something mean in a tweet, then the police are straight round to arrest you. And if you are an English man and you march because you are unhappy about three little children being murdered, then of course the police are fully in riot gear to attack you. The police will kneel before Black Lives Matter protesters. The police will wear rainbow flags at actively promote a political homosexual ideology, wokeness essentially, but yet with regard to you, if you protest, you are far right. You are this all encapsulating, insulting term of abuse, this shut up word, far right, simply because you are protesting about an immigrant killing three little girls. This shows you that you are not sufficiently on board with mass immigration, ergo you are evil, ergo you are far right, and you can be smeared and attacked. And on and on and on we go. The media have made nothing. They've hardly reported the fact that in Manchester, massive prison sentences were handed out to 28 men who had raped this woman and trafficked her since she was a teenager. But this is hardly discussed. But yet, if anyone makes a mean tweet about Islam or whatever it happens to be, it's all over the newspapers. So we have a two-tier policing system, clearly, in which the clients of the state, the group which from which the state gains its moral authority by saying that they are virtuous, by saying that they are concerned with equality and harm avoidance, and therefore they're in favour of Muslims, or they're in favour of foreigners, or whatever it happens to be, and therefore they vote for them. That group is policed clearly more softly than an ordinary white person. And this is evidenced by the furious reaction to the Hampshire Police Commissioner Donna Jones, who said correctly that the protesters are concerned about a two-tier policing system. And, oh God, you had all these MPs demanding that she be thrown out of the Conservative Party, or demanding that this be taken down. In the end, it was taken down. Why? Because it triggered them. Why? Because she was clearly telling the truth. And also there was concern that by telling the truth about the two-tier policing, this would inflame rioters further. But the point is, it is the truth. So we have two-tier policing, and there is no reason to trust the police, and we don't trust the police. They have lost their authority. And this happens towards the end. The second thing that happens towards the end is complete loss of faith in the media. I suspect that COVID is a big part of this. We know we were lied to like anything by the media during COVID. We know that people were thrown off social media and so forth for saying things which have since turned out to be correct. And there has been no redress, there has been no apology for the unbelievable repression and lies during that period. And I think that has made a lot of people lose trust in the media. But then look at the way the media are reporting this murder of three little girls. The killer, who has been named, has pictures of him when he was a young, sweet little choir boy. As if they're trying to make people think that he was nice and it's not his fault. Rather than pictures of him as the horrible, degenerate, violent man that he no doubt is now. Pictures of him as a little, sweet, angelic choir boy, or dressed up as Doctor Who. Constantly, they talk about the protesters as far right, which is an emotive, insulting term. It's one of those terms that is created. It has indefinite boundaries, like racist or Nazi or whatever, or indefinite boundaries, so that anything that deviates at all from orthodoxy can be captured by it, and therefore you can be reproved by the term, with the hope, therefore, that you won't deviate from orthodoxy because you won't want to be placed into that term with its connotations of evil. They are the far right, but yet the counter-protesters, and isn't it fascinating that Hope Not Hate and such groups turn up to counter-protest people protesting about the murder of three little girls? They are anti-racism protesters or anti-fascist protesters. So they are what they say they are, but yet the people that would say they are pro-British protesters or anti-child murder protesters, they are far right. So this shows you that the left-wing bias of the media, and therefore the media are lying, and therefore at least the mainstream media are not to be trusted. If they use that term, far right, about these protesters, what they are clearly working class people. They are working class people who are protesting. And it's very telling that they call them far right because they don't like them. They see them as disgusting. They see them as beneath them. They see them as not worth, you know, they're not worth their time, as just horrible. They see everything they don't like about Britain, they see in those people. They project, indeed, their insecurities onto those people. They don't like them. They don't think they should have a voice. They think they are degenerate, and therefore they term them far right. And eventually, of course, then you don't trust the media either. And so the media will say, oh, there was misinformation stating that this person was an immigrant, or stating that this person was a Muslim. Well, why should we believe them? And it gets to a point where why should we believe? Why should we believe what they're saying is right when they know they have lied? And I hope we reach a turning point now where the immediate reaction should be to assume that the media are not telling the truth about this issue. And they almost certainly are not. There's almost certainly things that are not being reported. In the same way that they wouldn't report the details of the gang rape with the 28 Muslim men because the details were considered too gruesome to report. Well, I wonder what's not being reported here. But this kind of thing, when trust like this is lost, it happens towards the end of a regime. So it may well be that things are shifting and that the English have finally awoken. As the poem has it by Rudyard Kipling, it was not suddenly bred, it will not swiftly abate through the chilled years ahead when time shall count from the date that the Saxon began to hate.
Are you ready for the future of the West?